through what they're experiencing as oppressive, heavy, destructive, dividing, those kind of forces in life that feel as if they're really battling with them. And that's been in the news a bit recently. There's a new exorcism centre, like a kind of drop-in clinic for exorcisms that's been opened in Manila, in the Philippines, a long distance ago, if you feel the need of that. The Vatican runs a course on deliverance ministry, which has had a record number of takers. And in the Church of England, we're just reviewing and revising our guidelines on this important but often misunderstood ministry of deliverance. What are we to make of all this? I think it's quite easy to dismiss it all as superstitious nonsense, but that would be wrong. There is no doubt that people are really finding a need for help and support, and feeling that they are engaged in some sort of spiritual struggle. We can't dismiss that. And of course, every time we say the Lord's Prayer, it's easy to forget this, but every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, "And deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil." So we can't dismiss it. On the other hand, I really don't think it helps to assume that our world and our daily life is completely populated by demons who are trying to push us around all the time and control us. That doesn't happen to the extent to which some people think it does. In some cultures, that is a way of looking at things sometimes. In other cultures, people talk about negative energy, unsettled memories, or the divided self. Whatever language we use, whatever theory we use to explain what's going on, is not so important. The important point is that some people need some sort of deliverance from forces that are oppressing them. And sometimes, in some places, we may even feel that ourselves, or know somebody who does feel that. And the New Testament, the Gospel we just said, gives a rather extreme example of that. What does it show us? Well, first of all, of course, as always in the Gospels, it shows us something about Jesus. It shows us Jesus' great sense of compassion and his longing to understand and to help people. Here is this poor, tormented man who is so distracted by whatever is troubling him that he's forgotten to wear clothes like other people. He doesn't live amongst other people. He lives on the graves in a place of darkness and fear. And he hears so many voices shouting at each other within his mind. When Jesus brings help. And what he does changes that man's situation completely. The gospel says that he commands the Spirit to come out of him. Whatever that means, and however we understand it, what it means is that he sets him free. And so the man can come back from that divided, tormented state of mind. Go back to being himself, being restored in his true personality. And the church's ministry of healing and deliverance is still needed in our own society today, just as it was in Jesus' day. Of course, we understand much, much more today about mental health. And the ministry of healing and deliverance will always be offered alongside professional mental health care, and will always be offered with medical advice. It's never an alternative to what medical care offers, but still can add a level of strength and restoration and freedom on the level of the spirit to troubled men and women who medicine cannot touch. And it needs to be offered by those who are well trained and supported. In this diocese we have a team of deliverance ministry. Most of their work is very low key, very undramatic. Forget about the exorcism, it was very dramatic. You're in the seat, shouting at them, beating them, trying to get them. It's not about that at all. It wouldn't be safe if it was. It's much more gentle, much more low key, much more assured. Reminding people and bringing people into God's loving and healing presence in lives and places that have been disturbed, just as Jesus does here in the country of the Gadarenes, so we do in Staffordshire, in the Diocese of Lichfield. And there is so much need for calm and peace and healing in our troubled world today. And this makes a difference to people's lives, just as it does in the gospel. Of course, in the first place, it makes a huge difference to the life of the man who used to live among the tombs. His life is totally turned around in direction. The gospel says they come across him wearing clothes, in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. His life is totally changed. But it also makes a difference to his neighbours' lives as they see him change. It makes a difference to the life of the whole community. There's a rather sad note in the Gospels where it says they asked Jesus to go away. Terrible thing to do. But Jesus don't give it a little hotel. Would you ask him to go away? I couldn't. But the reason is it's a kind of negative testament to the fact that we realize what a difference he's made. And they're not comfortable with that. He's changing not just an individual life, but the life of the whole community. It also has a rather bizarre effect on that herd of pigs and swine. It says that the spirit enters them, they go and throw themselves into the mud. It's a very strange story, but I think it points to the reality of the forces of negative energy that can be around in our world today. We see that negative energy every day on our news screens, particularly from Ukraine, but from other parts of the world today. We're really evil abroad in the world today. But we can also see it sometimes closer at home, sometimes in our own lives, through the lives of people we know. And simple, the point of the gospel is that Jesus offers us deliverance from all that. He sets us free. And through us, and through our